Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Good morning, it's Sarah Evans-Alwyn and I'm here with you on Between the Lines for Sheffield Live, and that's on 93.2 FM every Tuesday at 11 a.m. And today I am here across the Pennines in Greater Manchester, walking through the historic market town of Bury. So it's Bury Greater Manchester, not Bury St Edmunds. I know it's an easy mistake to make. And indeed, if you're the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, you might mistake this place for Burnley, as he famously said on a visit to the historic Bury markets, offending everyone in Bury and in Burnley all at the same time. But you might be able to hear that I'm on a sort of quite a noisy road. It's an artery through eventually to Manchester, but I am pointing in the other direction. I'm walking into Bury town centre, and as I walk up this street there is a war memorial on the left, as there are in many English towns and cities, and then on the right we have approaching a kind of a walk-in centre, an NHS GP surgery, and a Premier Inn. And then beyond the War Memorial Gardens, there is the Town Hall. And I'm told this is a really popular place to get married, and there's a waiting list of about 3 years, and that it's very beautiful inside. I've never been inside. But I've been coming to Bury for about, well, more than two decades now, and I am taking you to a place that I've only discovered very recently, despite being a regular visitor to Bury for in-law type familial duties. And I guess I've always taken the town centre for granted. There's a market, famous market, and the newly refurbished shopping area known as The Rock, where you can find all your usual high street brands and everything that you need really for your capitalist, consumerist wants and needs. But if you go to the quieter part of Bury towards the left, there are two really interesting little museums. And one is the Bury Art Museum and the other is the Fusiliers Museum. And today I'll be taking you to the Bury Art Museum. And as I say, I've been coming here for a long time, but I never darkened its doors until a few months ago. And I just discovered that it was such a lovely place, in that it seemed to really consider the community that it serves and was very inclusive in the way that the exhibits were laid out, which is a hard thing to explain, but I'll try and explain it once we get there. So I'm going to leave you here as I come to a busy road crossing and try to cross the road without getting killed, and we'll return hopefully in the more peaceful surroundings of the Bury Art Museum. Okay, I'm back here on Moss Street. This is in Bury, and I am just approaching the Bury Art Museum. To give it its full name, it's called the Bury Art Museum and Sculpture Centre, and it's in a very small, I mean for a museum, it's a small building, but it's very lovely actually, and I'm just approaching up the steps, and it is right opposite the Fusiliers Museum. But as I said, we're not going to the Fusilier Museum today. Again, you know, it's all this is part of Bury's history, I guess. And the Fusilier Museum is a nice place to catch up on some military history. And it's got a good outreach program where young people, schools, etc. are involved. It's a really good community place, and it is literally opposite the Bury Art Museum. Anyway, I'm just going in now. I'm just approaching the big wooden doors. It's really old-fashioned. And I'm going to quieten down while I enter. Okay, so I'm right in the heart of the Bury Art Museum right now, and I'm in an exhibition which opened in November, and it runs through until the 17th of February, and it's called Rooms to Live. And it is a really wonderful multi-sensory experience being in here. So the little blurb on the wall tells me that it references 1960s counterculture and 1980s environmentalism. And it investigates the alliances between music and art as vehicles for the imagination. And it tells me that it's the first UK exhibition by collaborative artists Derek Timon and Andy Webster. And it is lovely because in here you have two different installations, and there's a real DJ vibe to them. There's bright lights, there's crates made from pallets, and it's a really nice counteractive to this very traditional museum building. And I say this in the most affectionate way, because we've got the parquet floors, we've got the very old-fashioned coving on the ceilings, beautiful glass tiles on the floor as well, in between the parquet, and some St. Pancras ironwork on the floor as well. So very historical building with ceiling fans and all kinds of archaic sort of detailing in the architecture. And alongside, we have this kind of contemporary brash exhibition. And as you can hear, there's quite a lot of noise as well. And on the wall, we've got cassette tapes. All this nostalgic stuff is really, it's very compelling at the moment, isn't it? It's having a moment. And there is a video installation where there's a TV interview with Captain Beefheart from the 1970s on as well. And that's got like this psychedelic, nostalgic vibe to it happening. Really wonderful stuff. And in the other adjoining room, again, we have more video installations, nice primary colours, musical instruments here, a really lovingly crafted, sort of homemade looking, not together music studio set up. So it's really designed, I think, to be an interactive space. And I think it works really nicely as a back, you know, together with the sort of more old-fashioned museum-y backdrop. It's really worth the visit, wonderful stuff. Okay, I'm going to just walk through to the other part of the gallery. Now, I should say that this building also houses a Bury Library. So actually, if you go beyond the gallery doors, you can enter the library. And this is a warm space. It's well used. I can see people in there taking out books and accessing the computer facilities in here. And it is a well-stocked place. It doesn't look beleaguered like some other libraries that I've been to recently. Although I think it could do with some refurbishment in one corner of the room. But nice community space. And what I like about this museum is that there's a real sense of the importance of its place in the town. And I think it's fair to say that Bury has had its ups and downs and might be one of those towns that could benefit from a bit of levelling up, but perhaps hasn't seen the kind of care and attention that it probably deserves. And I think that this museum is sort of feels like it's got the intent and the sort of push to want to fill that space for the community. Kind of an uplifting place to be. Anyway, I'm just going to turn off now while I go upstairs. I'm going to have a look in the gallery space upstairs. Okay, I'm now upstairs in the Bury Art Museum, and I've just come up the very traditional staircase and through the wonderful cafe, which serves all home-cooked pies and salads and lovely cakes. And it's a warm place. And people come here for a quiet spot to sit and soak up the warmth on this very cold day. It's the coldest day of the year so far. I mean, I know we're only early on in January, but it's kind of sub-zero temperatures outside. So this is a lovely sanctuary. It's quiet upstairs, it's peaceful. And I'm in the first open exhibition that Bury Art Museum has held. And submissions were invited from people in the area. Anyone could submit. And in the end, they've had over 200 artists represented here, and the work is varied and beautiful. There are drawings and paintings and sculptures, and there's a real sense of regionality in the work. So we have scenes from northern suburbs and also abstract work, intricate patterns and prints, and there are some light installations. There is a group of teddy bears that are painted, and they're sitting in the centre of the gallery. There's pottery, and there's a bronze sculpture of a dog that is really quite stunning. So lovely examples of local artwork created by local people. And there's something very celebratory about the whole thing. It feels like a real accolade to the region. It's full of colour, it's vibrant, and yet it really acknowledges this area's industrial past. There are paintings of the countryside, roads cutting through moorland. There are portraits of people in their flats and homes. There's textile work as well. Very moving and beautiful work throughout. So as I go through, I can see that there's such a mix of media, and again, you can hear the video installation that's in the other room as I go past. Okay, now I'm coming to the more permanent part of the gallery. And here we have the paintings that are usually up and about. There is a rotation in this part of the gallery, but some of the paintings will be very familiar to people that come here regularly. And, you know, you've got the 19th century landscapes and cityscapes and portraits, and your more, shall I say, traditional museum fodder. And there are some examples of blue jasperware from Wedgwood. Again, you know, these are the things you'd expect to see in a regional museum. But I think what's so lovely is that I've just passed through the very contemporary into the more sort of historical, the nodding back to the local crafts, arts and crafts past of this region, as well as some sort of colonial sort of pieces where there's some incredible Chinese sculpture with dragons and lions in the middle of the room as well. So there's a real mix, and then thrown in there are a few contemporary pieces as well. And this is what I like about the way that this space has been thought through, which is that there are a mix of different times and places for people to refer to. And it is really an immersive experience being here. Okay, so you can see that in one part of this gallery there is table and chair set up so that groups can work here. There's no one here at the moment, but yes, it's a lovely space. And actually, it's quite compelling, you know. I actually can't believe I've not been here more before, because it's really thought-provoking. The paintings are of such a superb quality, and I feel that it's been very carefully thought through and laid out. I love that they have used the very old-fashioned museum cabinets to display pottery and other artifacts from the region. It really gives you a sense of all the different exhibits that have passed through in this time. And I love that it's still looking forward to the future and that they have had an open exhibition. I think that's really wonderful. There are signs that the building probably needs a bit of care and attention. So as I look up, I can see that there is quite a lot of damage to the coving at the top of the ceiling. And it looks like quite a lot of damp has got through. And I think it's so important to remember how expensive it is and how hard it is to maintain a building such as this, so that, you know, in order to keep hold of this history and the legacy of this place, you know, an awful lot of money needs to be pumped into an endeavour such as a museum. I mean, you know, people think about regional museums as maybe not being as fancy or as significant as museums in London or Edinburgh. But really, you can see that this place could be the heart of the community and is attempting to showcase local talent currently, and that it can be a place of renewal and hope as well. And that's how I feel as I walk through, that it should be, and it feels like a place that could celebrate the wonderful art as well as the legacy of this place. Anyway, I'm going to walk through into the shop area, and this is where you can buy a print or a piece of art. It's a really sweet shop, and it's not like some museum shops that seem to be filled with tat. I mean, of course, there is a small section of tat here, but actually you can pick up a lovely print, a lovely piece of original artwork here, should you wish to. And yes, I would say the thing that sets us out from other museum gift shops is that it's not jam-packed full of stuff that you could get in the market. And there are some unique pieces that you can pick up here. Oh, there's a lovely embroidered doily that has caught my eye. It's absolutely beautiful. It looks like an exquisite piece of work. And I just think, you know, isn't it wonderful to find this in the museum shop alongside the cards and the postcards? It's really beautiful. And you can buy some beautiful glassware as well. This is high quality tat. It's not your common or garden tat. So a really special place. And there's another shop downstairs which has more cards and more of the generic stuff that you can find, but it also has a little section that has independent zines for sale. So it is a bit quirky. I think it's an absolute gem to be found here in Greater Manchester. So with that, I'm going to leave you here, and I will just say that next week I will probably be closer to home in Sheffield, but that I can highly recommend that you make the trip over the Pennines and come and visit this small gem of a place. It's warm, it's full of beautiful artwork, and it's somewhere where I know you'll see something that you like. Okay, so I'll leave you with that. You've been with me, Sarah Evans-Alwyn, and I've been recording Between the Lines for Sheffield Live, which is on every Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. on 93.2 FM. So join me if you can next week, and until then, take care.
My friend George is a drag queen called Nancy. Pray tell me, which are you tonight? If you're George, let's have a game of snooker. If you're Nancy, let's turn out the light. For George is a foreman in a coal mine, but changes when the hooter goes at five. From a snooker playing friend of yours truly, to a man I would like to make my wife. For Nancy brings me midnight satisfaction, and stays with me until the morning light. Then he's off to his work down a coal shaft, where he ain't such a delicate sight. Oh, Nancy, you're the girl that I think of, but George, I know she's part of you. But it's Nancy, not you, that I fancy. Tell me, George, tell me, what can I do? I'm in love with half a man, that's a lady. And the half that ain't no lady is my best friend. Nancy, I would like to share my name with. But George is not the type I could offend. So George, take off your dress, put on your trousers. I've gotta shake your Nancy from my head. So tonight I am dining with another. One half's called Frida and the other half is Fred.
Thank you. pasillos de hoy. Para el rincón caliente me voy.
Promise brown, you who believes he's gonna paint the town. Spanish man eating Frosties and Toast. Bet that your son's got more uncles than those. Introductions at breakfast for Frosties and Toast.
someone who can wrap their wings around all my dreams, or make them all fly so high. Well, I know that she would be someone who understands me. Oh, and sees the world through open eyes. When it comes to love, she always tries. 'Cause oh, 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 you made me feel so high. The night can seem so very long if you don't have that someone to hold you when life goes wrong. Baby, I'm waiting for you. 'Cause oh, 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 you never feel so high.
Sifigile,
sifigile,
sifigile, Thank you. 1212. How's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
Tonight, I got it really bad.